Okay, so like Colleen said, tonight we are going to talk about intuition in depth. But first, we are actually going to just do a short little exercise to kind of get us all in that place. So,
I'm not sure your screen got this
I know, but I'm going to wait to show it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I was trying to ruin my surprise. So, everybody, go ahead and close your eyes. And imagine walking through your front door. Now walk into your kitchen and go to your refrigerator. Open the refrigerator. And there you see a box of red ripe strawberries. Pick them up. And put the box to your nose and smell the strawberries. Now walk over to your sink. Wash the strawberries off under cold water. Now take the strawberry and open up the box and take a bite. When you're ready, you can open your eyes. No. Okay. So, this is, where is it? Well, shoot, I was hoping to have this up. When you guys opened your eyes, but
I'm slide showing too.
This doesn't have. There we go. I can start. Now, how many of you guys saw the strawberries? You can just raise your hand. And how many of you guys smelled the strawberries? And how many of you guys tasted the strawberries? How many of you guys heard different sounds like the water running or the door opening or the box of strawberries opening? And how many of you felt different things like the strawberry in your hand or the water running on your hand? Okay. So this is just an example, and what this exercise does is it starts to demonstrate to you how your intuition comes to you. It's examples of how your intuition starts to manifest for you. We've talked a little bit about this in the past, about our different intuition styles. We're just going to go in depth in it today. We're going to go back over the Clairs today, and then Colleen's going to take us into more into depth into our mind, body, and spirit sides of our intuition. So I'm going to take us through the Clairs. We all have different ways that our intuition manifests for ourselves. So, oh, and I want to say real quick, we actually, because we're sharing our screen, we can't see the chat. So if you guys have something that you want to add or a question that you want to ask, just go ahead and unmute yourself and do that because if you send anything in the chat, we can't see it and we can't see everybody's picture either. So you just have to unmute yourself and go ahead and interrupt too if you need to. So there are different types of clairsenses. And as you guys saw in the exercise that we all have the different ways that our intuition can manifest for us, that we all see, perceive things differently. And sometimes it can be a combo. And you could do the exercise one time and certain it would come to you in a certain way, you would feel and see it. And then the next time you may not. Oh, I need to go back.
Oh,
The next time you may not, and it would come to you in a different way. The point of it is to start recognizing that you have your own distinct form of intuition. You have your own clair, and you have a combination of clairs. So I'm actually going to go through the clairs again, and I'm going to go into them a little bit more in depth. So
I was thinking we should stop the video soon.
Okay,
that's what I was trying to do.
So we have clairvoyance, claircognizant, clairaudience, clairempathy, clairsentience, clairtangency, clairsalience, clairgustance, and clairintellect. So clairvoyance is clear seeing. I wonder, should I share this, you think? Or do you think I should just read through what they are? I wasn't planning on sharing that.
Yeah, it's probably, okay. I mean, if you can, I don't know how.
Well, you have it somewhere on yours, but.
Yeah, it'd be too long to do it.
All right, so clairvoyant is clear seeing. This is the clair that we are actually all really aware of. It's what you hear about the clairvoyance. This is seeing symbols in the form of mental images through, it can be actually seeing them, or it can be through your mind's eye. You might experience vivid dreams, visions, mental images, or mini movies that flash into your inner awareness. You also might be able to see the colors of energy fields around people, plants, and animals, or perhaps you're able to see things such as angels or ghosts or things like that. We talk about the clairs because we think that clairvoyance is the one that we all hear about, but it's so important to know that there's other ways that our intuition manifests for ourselves. So claircognizance is clear knowing. When you just suddenly know something to be true, even though you didn't see it, hear it, or feel it, you just know it. It's a stroke of instant insight or a download of information that needs no processing or interpretation. Claircognizance can be experienced as nagging idea or unrelenting thought, much like the persistent awareness that someone is lying to you when you have no physical evidence of it. Clairaudience. Clairaudient is clear hearing, when you're able to perceive sounds, words, or noises from the spiritual or ethereal realm. Someone is clairaudience if they mainly receive their intuitive information with their inner or outer hearing. Yes, we are talking about hearing voices, either outside of yourself or in your head. Clairempathy. Clairempathy is clear emotion. So we're going to talk a little bit about empathy. I'm just going to read this, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. Is if you sense other people's emotions, thoughts, and symptoms. It is the awareness or perception of emotional energy. You don't necessarily experience the feeling in your body, but you are aware of the feeling. Think of Troy from Star Trek, The Next Generation. She could sense other people's emotions. Ever walk into a room and notice an emotion, then you might be clear empathic. So Colleen and I were talking about this before. I think the majority of us that are called to this work are empathic. We take on a lot of people's stuff a lot of times. There's a little bit of a difference in intuiting empathy, or there's a difference between empathy and intuitive empathy. Mm-hmm. That intuitive empathy is where it's an actual action that you're using this style of your clair to as part of your intuition. And just regular empathy is actually taking on people's stuff, essentially. In this work, I wouldn't say this is not necessarily one of my clair senses, that it's necessarily a big style of intuition for me. However, I am empathic. I do take on people's stuff. And I have to be careful of this. I think a lot of us do in this work. We can get into an imbalance of empathy. And one of the best things about Reiki is that Reiki is actually, you can call in Reiki almost immediately to help you with this imbalance in empathy. Because Reiki is an external source of healing, that it's actually not being drawn from us, we can use it to help us with our empathy, to help build that auric field of light around us to help us with our empathy. And also we can use it so that we can do something about what we're experiencing. We can send Reiki to the other person or to the energy in general, if the other person may not be accepting of Reiki. I one of the examples that we use a lot with this is when world events and going into the grief of world events, when you're aware of the fact that you are very empathic, you can start to distinguish when you're going into the grief of the event and the kind of collective grief and the collective, as an empath, you tend to take that on. When that happens, start to notice like, oh, I'm tapping into the grief of this. What is helpful about that is when you can step back from the actual grief of that and that imbalance in empathy, that doesn't mean that you care less. What it does is that it can put you into solution. Like, okay, I can step back from the grief of this, and now I can send this world event Reiki. Now I can do something about why I feel grief about this. I can actually send Reiki. I can help. I can put it in my grid. It moves you more into solution, and it helps you. It helps you to stay in balance, because the problem with empathy for us is that we can get really bogged down by it, and that's not helpful in any situation. It's not helpful for us, and then it makes it hard for us to help others too. So one of the things that we wrote was, while it is perfectly natural and normal to feel empathy, it is important we do not move into an imbalance of empathy. It is not our role to take on others' pains, injuries, or situations or journeys. But instead, our role is to support the process as healing and learning unfolds for everyone involved. So that's empathy. It's a huge subject. And as we all know, as healers and as we're all called to Reiki, that's part of the reason we are. So it's just a little bit. You can use your empathy for your intuition as well. Just make sure that you stay in balance with it, because it's easy to kind of get bogged down by it. So I'm going to get this mouse. Okay, clairtangency. Clairtangency is clear touching. If you have the ability to perceive facts about an event or person by contact with proximity or to the object or person. This is also commonly known as psychometry. So this is like, you know, people can touch somebody's hand and gain information about it, or hold somebody's watch and gain information about that. So that's what clear touching is.
Did you do clairsentience?
I missed clairsentience. Clairsentience, that's funny, is a physical feeling. It obtains intuitive insight by way of physical feeling, physical experience in the body. So this could be if you're working on somebody and your stomach starts hurting, you can know that, okay, so you need to go to work on their stomach, or something doesn't feel right. You can feel it, like your arm starts hurting. Maybe they had a physical sensation in their arm, and there's different things that can be metaphorical around this, but you actually feel a physical sensation in your body. That's clear feeling, clear sentience. And Colleen had a really funny one about this. She was, we were talking about the journey today that we're going to be doing. And she's like she said on Facebook, like, I've been really unfocused. I've been wandering all day. And it turns out that the journey, what wants to come through in the journey, is that we're going to actually have you guys wander in the journey a little bit to listen to your intuition. So she was picking up on this and she was feeling it. And then a couple of weeks ago, she was having it was right before our last class, and she was with our other group. she was having a case of the shoulds, and we talked about the shoulds. Like, oh, I should be working. No, I should be cleaning my house. No, I should be spending time with my family. All the shoulds that we all go into all the time. And it's because we needed to talk about the shoulds in the class, and part of the journey in it was surrounded around the shoulds. So I know that's a kind of a metaphorical example of it, but that's why we wanted to use it, because she was feeling these feelings. She was actually wandering around. She was actually feeling the shoulds. And so it's that's also physical feeling. So it's not always just like a pain in my stomach or a pain in my arm. It's that it's feeling it. So,
and so let me add to that, because I will say that it took me quite a while to be in the feeling to recognize that it actually was an intuition giving me a message. And in the first example with the shoulds, I actually stopped and thought, what is this? Like, wow. I mean, if I did the dishes, I was guilty that I wasn't sitting watching TV with my husband. If I was watching TV, I was guilty that I wasn't doing something on the computer. I mean, it was just this day of shoulds, and so I couldn't do any of it. But it took me a while to recognize it. But what I did with that is it was uncomfortable enough to make me stop and ask Reiki, what is this? Like, why? Because I hadn't even identified it as the shoulds yet. Like, what? You know, stop, what? You know, and stopped. And then I heard, oh, this is the shoulds. And then it took me into why I needed to know that right then. The same with the wandering today. It was one of those days. I have all this stuff to do and I needed to focus, and I got a lot done, but I was pretty unfocused doing it. And then I realized it was about wandering, and we're going to do some wandering tonight. So,
yeah. So Colleen.
Yeah.
And Robin and everybody, I have to say thank you for this detailed description on clairsentience. This is making sense to me like never before. And this has been happening to me, and I get stuck somewhere and I'm like, what is going on? But I've been so busy, I have not gone into Reiki, but I'm just telling you, thank you. This answered a whole lot of stuff.
Good. And you're welcome. And I do that when I tap in like that, I do that in my busyness. So it's not always like when I say I stop, it might be 2 minutes. Sometimes it could be longer, but you can definitely do it on the fly. I was like, just stop. Okay, like what? What?
Yeah. What are you trying to tell me?
What are you trying to
Why
tell
is
me?
This happening? Yeah.
And so today when I did the wandering, I actually had it in a Facebook post for a different group. And I wrote down, well, I need Reiki to focus. I'm just wandering today. And I actually used Say Hey Key in the post, and SHK, you know, and put that in the post. And then the answer was that I was supposed to wander. I wasn't supposed to focus. Well, which, of course, I loved.
And it was finally, once you called and say Hey Key, the answer
came in. Yeah. The answer was clear. Yeah. But I did it really quickly. It wasn't like a big, long thing.
So I'm a little confused. What is the difference between clairsentience and clairtangency? Is it about the sense that you're using? Clairtangency involves touch versus clairsentience just involves some emotional feeling?
Well, kind of. Clairtangency, you can think of more of like if you're holding a watch, you can glean information about the owner from that watch. If you're holding somebody's hand, you can glean information from holding their hand. So clairtangency is actually like a touch, where a clairsentience is going to manifest as a physical feeling in some way, shape, or form. Mm.
Got it.
Does that answer
your
question? Okay. Okay, so then The next one is clairsalience, clear smelling. So this one's pretty straightforward. It's smelling. We have a really funny story about this. I'll just do it quickly. My grandmother, who's no longer with us, she passed away 3 years ago, and she was a smoker for 70 years, something like that, and she quit it towards the end of her life, but she was a smoker for a really, really long time. And we both had this weird experience around cigarettes for a while where I...
Separately,
where I was craving cigarettes, and I've never been a smoker at all. It was very strange that I was like, do I need to have this medically checked out? Like, it was that strange that I was craving cigarettes. And so I talked about this in one of our classes, and my mom's like, that's so weird. Today, when I was giving a session, I got the biggest whiff of smelling cigarettes. And she was working with these particular clients whose mom she was also very connected to. And, you know, there was a lot of mother energy with these clients, and they're not smokers. And I mean, it was so vibrant for her that she was like, whoa, like somebody could have been smoking in the room, in the house.
Yeah. I even asked them.
Yeah.
Like, can you smell that smoke?
Yeah. So this is a perfect example of clairsalience, that it was grandma. She was coming in. There was a whole reason around it, and I can't remember it in this moment, but there was a whole reason she was coming in around it, and it was grandma. And she's actually had that happen a couple of times where she's gotten whiffs of cigarettes. And it's been around other times when people have been, she's, you know, just very present and very strong. So it's a funny example about clairsalience. I was laughing with somebody because they're like, oh, whenever I see hummingbirds, I think of my grandmother and I know that she's here with me. And I was thinking, yeah, of course it's my grandmother that uses cigarettes as the way that she shows herself to me. It would be just along her sense of humor though. So it's perfect. She had such a sense of humor like that. And then clairgustance is clair tasting. So you receive information through your sense of taste without having any physical source of that taste in their mouth. So this would be kind of the same example as the clairsalience, as the clairsmelling, that you maybe it's a favorite food of a loved one or something like that.
Well, like, did you taste the strawberry?
Did you taste the strawberry? That's exactly it. Did you taste the strawberry? And then the other one that we've added since really going into the clairs is the clair intellect, and that is clair thinking. A lot of us left brain people, myself is in that group, are clair intellects, and we think a lot of our intuition. And this is actually it's a really in-depth topic that we could go into, but it's a really important one, because I think a lot of us analytical and left brain thinkers think that we may not be intuitive, and really we are. It just comes to us in a different manner. And if you think about like some of the great discoverers in our time, like an Einstein or something like that, you know, they were probably a clair intellect. They have to think their intuition. And when you recognize this, you start to get good at deciphering and discerning when you're in thought and when you're in intuition and when you're in like vision. So just so you guys know that are very analytical and left brain, this is a clair, and to know that you are very intuitive. They are not mutually exclusive. They actually very much go together. So
where you think your intuition.
It's where you think your intuition, yeah.
So it comes out, just sounds like your own thought, comes through as your own thought, and, you know, and so a lot of times people feel like it's not happening, or they don't know what the source is because it's coming through their own thought. But it is an equal style of intuition.
Very much so, yeah. And it's been so helpful for me personally, because I did think that, oh, you know, I don't have this clairvoyance, so therefore I'm not intuitive. And you kind of cut that part of yourself off a little bit, wondering if you have it as strongly as others. And you do, just a different form. So these are they're guidelines. So this isn't the, you know, this, these definitions of these clairs aren't, they're not limited. So there's all sorts of things that can fall into these categories. As I've talked before, that, you know, some of my intuition comes in movie references. Like, how weird is that? And it took me a long time to realize, like, oh, this is intuition speaking. Like, this doesn't make it less than. This is just how it comes to me. So it's not to necessarily take every single thing that I've said literally, and if it doesn't fall into exactly this, everything that I've said, because Claire movies isn't in here. You know, Claire cinema, that's not a Claire. So it's not to take these exactly literal. These are guidelines to let you guys know that that your intuition can come to you in any manner, and it's, none of it is wrong. It's all right. And it can be a combination of these, and it can be different at different times. I'm not generally like clairsalience or clairtasting or any of that, but that moment when she smelled the cigarettes, that was clairsalience. And that's, you know, that's grandma, and that's not how she necessarily manifests her intuition at all times. So just know that it can come to you in all different forms. That's more of the point of what we're talking about rather than the exact definitions of these. It's helpful to know that, oh, my intuition has all these different ways that it comes to me. So.
And there's also times that there's a particular intuition that isn't your style and may not become your style. Mm-hmm. So some people that might be clairaudient may not have clairvoyance. Or for instance, I had, when I started studying my intuition, I have so much clairvoyance. Everything runs in front of me in a picture. And I think in terms of pictures, but I didn't have sound with it. So all I was seeing was pictures, but I didn't know what anything meant. So I also learned how to develop some of the others, and then some of them were just probably not going to be a major way that I experience my intuition on a regular basis. Reiki does increase your intuition. Yasui Sensei, again, going back to the history of it, he practiced an intuitive style of Reiki and, you know, used, that's what Beozen scanning was about. And that's where I found out with the intuition is that so many people did not really clearly understand their intuition.
You know, they think if they're not clairvoyant, which is what we hear about, that we're not intuitive in the same way.
So that's one of the things we're going to do tonight in the journey is we're going to actually release any preconceived ideas about your intuition, and then we're going to reveal your authentic intuition so that it wakes up, and this moves all along with the whole body listening as well.
Okay, so any quick questions about the clairs? We're still going to talk about intuition. Colleen's going to go into it. I just didn't know if any of you guys had any quick questions about that.
I do. I have a quick question. This is Allie. So sometimes when I share my intuition with other people, they'll say, well, it comes in the form of claircognizance. Maybe they might say something like, well, you're just making assumptions or you're interpreting it a certain way. And I get confused when that happens because I feel like I get a genuine impression, like an energetic impression off of a situation. So I was wondering what the difference is between like an interpretation or an assumption and a clear intuition.
Well, you answered it really right there. Once you go into interpretation, then you know, typically when you share an intuition or you share an insight, you strictly say what you saw or what you experienced rather than interpreting it. If you just give the straight information without your own interpretation of it, it'll get much more clear.
And sometimes that's weird. It comes out.
Yeah.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Aren't you trained as a life coach also?
Yes. And that's where it kind of like comes in, because it's really like kind of a different language that they're using, and they're trying to frame it according to the language they use. And it's just hard to decipher what's what sometimes.
Yeah. And so that's probably where that mix is coming in, because like as when I'm working with just Reiki, I'm specifically not interpreting because it's not within my scope of practice. It's like, that's not part of my practice, where in coaching or in therapy, that is part of your practice. So just having a basic understanding that's probably what's happening for you is the merging of the two practices, which is fine, but just understanding why that's happening.
Okay, that makes sense. So there's an integration that's taking place?
It's an integration, but also a recognition of what role you're in the moment.
Mm-hmm. So an intuition might sound like, I see you as a child in front of a door, whereas an interpretation might be, sound like what? If I saw that image and I just shared the image of a child in front of a door, when does it slip into interpretation?
Well, if you were to say what that meant. So for instance, here's what I think is happening for you as a child. The door is closed. You can't get through it unless you physically see that happening or have an understanding. But adding any meaning to it other than let them then come back to you with, oh yeah, boy, the doors were always closed for me as a child.
Okay. And that's very helpful.
Evaluating it. When you start evaluating the information, that's when you know you're getting a little off track. Sometimes they don't give you more information than the child standing in front of the door. And that can be hard. And where to know that discernment takes practice as a practitioner. But that's exactly, as soon as you know, it's like, I'm just not going to evaluate that. I don't know. I wasn't given any more information than that. And that, I mean, I've definitely used that in my sessions. Like, I don't know. I wasn't given the information, so I'm not going to evaluate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, great question.
Yeah.
Colleen?
Yeah.
It's Manikai. Ali has also, I've been trained as a life coach as well. And the way it comes across is to me is like, I use the picture of the intuition is like the news. Today it was snowing bare. Today the snow was hard versus interpretation of, then you have your opinion people, the pundits. Well, that means that we need to do this and we should do that. No. The news is, what was the news? What was the impression? That was the straight news. And then I always preface it with, I don't know what that means. I'm not giving interpretation. That's just what that's what the information came across. And then I back up and let them say, now you can deal with it, what you want or how you can. I don't know what that means, but what it means to you is what it means to you. Does that help?
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyone else?
The down area.
Whoops. Did I go too fast?
Right. Yep.
That's the right one.
And Allie, just so you know too, as far as like, well, that's your interpretation and things like that, the more you practice and the more you are aware and it's going to start to get more comfortable of what's divine and what's you. And even when you're very practiced, you still have to get out of your own way. She talks about that, and it's helpful for me. It's ongoing. They're like, okay, she still has to get out of her way. So that means, that's just so you know, it does, you do start to be able to discern easier and quicker the more you do it.
And actually, those were good words too, Munikai. So when I notice that it's me in the mix, is if I have an opinion, or also if I'm relating it to something that happened to me, like having that, oh yeah, I know how you feel because I had this, and this. And so I've learned when that happens, that's a signal to pull myself out of the way even more and, you know, let go of any opinion and let go of any advice. That's another one. Again, that's why I asked about the coaching, because in coaching, there is more advice than in a Reiki practice. So that's the part where you're going to have to kind of learn how to balance it. But that's how I notice if I am ready to give advice, have an opinion, or I'm relating it to, or I think I know what's going to happen, or mm-hmm. I'm relating it to something that I have experienced.
Yeah, I definitely am experiencing where as soon as I kind of will project myself into a situation or myself onto a person through advice or an opinion or something like that, it's very uncomfortable now. Like, I'm like, ooh, that really feels uncomfortable. So, sometimes I don't realize it until after I've done it, unfortunately for that person, but I'm learning.
Remember, it's always divinely ordered.
Yeah.
And the other thing I've done in those is I send Honcho Zeishonin back and ask that it scramble it so that I feel better. Okay, just would you just go back and scramble that and, you know, and use Honcho Zeishonin on me in the moment. Trust me, these are ongoing experiences that it's always an, I don't think there's an end game in this one. I think there will always be new levels of understanding your intuition and communicating it, and new levels of understanding, which is part of the fun part. Mm-hmm. Because like even today when we were talking about my experiences with the wandering, I never associated that with it like this. I mean, I finally connected it, but I hadn't associated it with this is clear salient or clear
sentience.
Yeah, I get them all mixed up. Yeah. But so. Anyway, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good questions.
All right. So you're up.
I'm up.
We're talking about all of that stuff.
So these are things that we will continue to talk about every class. And we're building on the skills that you're developing. So you've been developing your journey skills. You've been developing your automatic writing skills. You've done some distance journeying for each other. And we've talked a lot about listening. And tonight we went more in depth into the intuition. And all of this is actually activating your senses. So heightening your senses and heightening your perceptions, which give you access to whole body answers. So for instance, as I've talked before about, you know, the imagery of the chakras being an oval table where the, I've done that in this class,
yes,
right?
Yep.
Being the oval table where the chakras are, you know, down the front of you and up your back, the whatever chakras, they're down the front and up the back. And it's like this oval table. And those are your perceptions. Your chakras is where you perceive from. So when you're perceiving with your chakras, you also want to be listening to that information. And in addition, what you're doing is that was really distracting.
I'm sorry, I was making sure we were recording.
Okay. So when you are in your heightened perceptions and you're in your heightened senses, you can actually hear from all parts of you. So one of the things I hear so often is get out of your head in this work. Well, yeah, but we also, you know, need our head to check in with our heart and our heart to check in with our head. Both things are important. Our logical mind is applicable in our daily life because we are all applying spiritual practices to how we live consciously. So when you heighten your senses and you have an energy like Reiki that allows you to heighten your perceptions and heighten your senses, it allows you to actually be open because you have that field of Reiki light taking care of all of the external energy that may impact you with your empathy. So I even think in terms of Reiki being in a complete bubble around me. On the inside, I'm absolutely open, perceiving, listening. My senses are heightened. My instincts are awake. My imagination is open. And my intuition is present in that whole body listening with a field of light around me that as I navigate through the world, that field of light is what's absorbing all those external fluctuations in the energies and frequencies that I encounter. And it allows me to be open in myself. So the other piece of this is heightening your senses. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. Okay, so we didn't do a slide on the... authentic intellect?
No.
Okay.
I decided not to do it.
Okay.
It's going to take you too
far. Yeah. So I'm going to just talk about this real quickly. So one of the things that, you know, as you know, with Holy Fire, that it has really been healing the authentic self. And one of the major ones that I'm seeing as a practitioner is the healing of your authentic intellect. And your intellect includes things like your, I have it right here. Your authentic intellect includes your intelligence, but it's your intelligence is only a part of your authentic intellect. It includes your intuition, your instincts, your imagination, your inner guidance. When you're bringing your authentic intellect into actual practice, that includes your innovations, your inventiveness, your creativity. Your intellect also includes your insights. And your authentic intellect, you were actually born with. That's what you incarnated with in your spirit. You were born with your own spiritual instructions to yourself for your life purpose, your reason for being here, your gifts and your talents. So tonight what we're going to be doing is working with three aspects of your authentic intellect. And we started with this, Tamsin, a couple months ago with you talking about imagination. And one of the things that I've come to understand with imagination as a practitioner is that everyone in our culture needs their imagination healed because we are so guided and taught what imagination actually means. And most people think imagination is what you use to make things up with. In this work, your imagination is actually your sixth sense. It's what gives you access to your intuition. It gives you access to your inner guidance. It gives you access to your insight, your dreams. It can also give you access to your intelligence. It can give you access to your knowledge. But as Einstein said, imagination is actually more important than knowledge. because knowledge is defined by what has an actual container, where imagination is unlimited. So we are going to also be healing your imagination in this journey tonight, and realigning it with your authentic imagination, which also has kind of some of the similar things that intuition does, where with intuition, we know we think some people have it and some people don't. And the people who have it are more likely to be maybe artistic or musically inclined. The same with imagination, creative minds.
You actually put this in your article, which I really liked about imagination. I listened to the podcast version where she read this article, Imagination, or Reiki Heals the Imagination. Imagination is not limited to only seeing pictures in the mind. It includes all five senses and feelings. One can imagine a sound, taste, smell, physical sensation, or feeling or emotion. So you can do all five senses.
That's more than just. Yeah, it is. It's a part of your senses, and your imagination is your doorway into these inner spiritual realms.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Oh, not you. So I don't know if I missed it, but what's the difference between intuition and instinct? Like, instinct, when you say instinct, I'm thinking, you know, even like a puppy, you know, when he's really young, he instinctively just starts drooling when he sees food, or people kind of have an instinct of tribal loyalty or stuff like that. But instinct, you're talking about like an automatic, I'm not sure what the difference is between the clairs you were talking about.
Okay. Perfect. Well, that's actually,
does that make sense?
Yeah, that's actually what we're doing. So let me get to the next slide, Tamsin, and we'll talk about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't.
No, that's all right. Please do. No, it's a great question. I always want you guys to feel comfortable to speak up and interrupt. Okay, so I just happen to like this saying by Deepak Chopra: "The dream begins in the same place where the dream comes true." So, meaning that it starts in your imagination, and then you also manifest it starting in your imagination. And so now we'll go to instincts. So your intuition, actually, if we go to the next, we're going to go. So here we have placed imagination in the mind, body, the instincts are in the body, and your intuition is in your spirit, is your spirit. So body, mind, and spirit. So going back to though instincts, yes, we do think of them as part of our human nature to have your instincts for what you actually need to do to live your day. And one of the reasons this came up with authentic intellect is because what I'm noticing in my sessions is how many people's instincts have actually been replaced with fear and worry, when instinct was actually intended originally to be aware of our environment, to know how to take care of ourselves on this earth, to know how to take actions, to know how to do what we need to do to live each day. Some of the things that are instincts are more animal instincts. So, you know, the things that we instinctively know to do.
Safety.
Safety, gut feeling, both, and that's intuition too. Yeah. But yeah, gut feeling is instinct. And so it also, instinct also has a lot to do with, like, really it's to me, it's more of a functioning, where intuition is more of a thought and a feeling. So your instincts are, like, I would think of more in your first, second, and third chakra, that whatever area that we talked about before, and also in your gut, where your intuition is more of a thought, more of a feeling, insight. So am I being clear? A good question. I hadn't really put the question to the differences.
And sometimes they run together.
And
that's the other thing. It's whole body listening. We're listening with all of these things. I think the overarching point to this, which actually we should probably write down, is that that it's all part of your intuition, that your body and instincts is not less than your spirit intuition, is not less than your mind and imagination intuition, that it's equal to that. And it's also part of our human nature. And as we are what's revealing in Holy Fire is that our human nature and our divine nature are both important. And so I would say body just kind of falls more into that human nature that we also need to be paying attention to. And part of us, like you said, Tamsin, before, gets put into this whatever category. There is part of us that just thinks, oh, we should just be paying attention to the divine, but it's important to pay attention to some of these things. And it's part of our intuition. How you know sometimes that you need to get somewhere to make yourself safe. That is intuition, but that's instinct. So, you know, it all can be fluid.
Yeah. Would it be right to say that instinct is like, well, here's an example. Let's say that you have a feeling that something isn't safe. So I know that's in response to an event or an idea. And then instinct would be when, well, I mean, this sounds more like adrenaline, but instinct is when you physically like get the impetus to actually run or to respond. You know what I mean? Like, and it ends up being a good idea. Like, you don't really have it figured out in your head, but the instinct is causing you to just do the right thing for the purpose of safety. But the intuition was, hey, one of the Claires is telling me to not go that way.
Yes. I think that's about as close as we came to explaining it. So, yeah. Yeah, I think that is pretty good. And part of what this is, again, if you look at the totality of what we're talking about here, is your whole body listening with and tonight we're focused on your intuition, your imagination, and your instincts. And those are all part of your authentic intellect that I see as a practitioner often impede people in their whole body listening. Like not really knowing. How often do you think, oh, God, I knew it and I didn't listen to it? And so that's the other part of this, is more than, like Robin was saying with the intuition, more than identifying the specifics of it, it's letting these parts of you, your authentic instincts, your authentic imagination, your authentic intuition be revealed. Yeah, so that
we've talked a little bit about this because it is part of the whole body listening, because as we said in the listening part of, in the last month in the listening section, is that that listening is the foundation to your intuition. And so, this is whole body listening. It is, we're in the intuition part of whole body listening, But they do. They meld together. They run together. All part of the same thing. Exactly like you said, Tamsin. You've got something in there, and you've got this instinct. So,
well, and the same thing. You could say the same thing. When is it imagination? When is it intuition? When is it instinct? Yeah. And so that's why all of them, there is a really true, authentic imagination, instinct, and intuition in you that I feel like Reiki very specifically activates those whole parts of you. And so that's what we're going to do in the journey is tonight the journey is as much around the healing and empowerment of those as it is about information. Mm-hmm. It's like to really open up that ability, because in the end, the whole body listening is what creates the heightened perceptions. And then once your heightened perceptions are available to you, that's when your consciousness is available. That's when the field of possibilities is very accessible to you. You're able to listen with conscious choice, even in a split second decision. From a split second decision to a future decision that you know you're going to make. So all of these play together with that. So by the, you know, with the journeying, the listening, and then developing these parts of you, these authentic parts of you, that's what actually gives you access to your inner guidance and your conscious choice and conscious intention.
Monika, did you have something you wanted to add? I see you're off mute. Was that just an accident? Yeah, because I think part of it is that we all want to be able to know what our intuition is telling us at all times. And so this is part of developing those skills. Mm-hmm. So the spirit, intuition.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good.
Okay. Yeah. I like you covered it. All right. Mm-hmm. I like the slide.
I do too. So we'll look at this slide for a minute.
Yeah. I like that she's... That or I say she, it could be he, it's pretty androgynous, that they are looking both ways too. It's that, you know, they're and potentially behind them as well. It's they're
on the other side.
Yeah, that they're looking at all of it.
So. Above you, below you, in front of you, on each side, behind you, everywhere.
And
full body listening.
From the divine, the third eye.
The other thing that I'm going to say with that, too, that Robin and I have talked about, there's plenty of times that I'm not in whole body listening because I don't want to be. You know, it's like, wait a minute, I'm just chilling here. And
I'm just gabbing with a girlfriend.
Just hanging out with a girlfriend or, you know. I love when I'm in it, when I'm wandering, like today. I really love being in that whole body listening kind of, when you're, you know, in that wandering mode. And of course, I love it when I'm in work mode or when I'm in a serious conversation with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of times. It doesn't mean you have to be in full body listening every minute of every day.
But we get to be human sometimes, yeah, too.
Yep, and just stare at the TV or binge watch something. Or
yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Okay, I think we are to the journey.
So here's what we're going to journey with tonight. How does your intuition reveal itself to you? And how does that affect your life? What does that actually do for you? So on the journey, we're going to do some healing work. Not work, we're going to receive some healing and some revealing, and then the information coming in on how it affects you and what that actually guides you to in your next step. Okay? Everybody kind of with us? And any questions that anybody has? And how about a bathroom break before we go to the journey? Anybody need that? Or
Yes, please. Okay. Yes, please.
All right, let's take a bathroom break and we'll get back.
So let's start.